This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sodell Concepts. Sodell Concepts is excited to open Thompson Island Brewing Company this fall, their 12th location. Thompson Island will be a 250-seat brew pub located off Route 1 next to Blue Coast Rehoboth. The brew pub will pay homage to the area and will feature an outdoor beer garden with fun activities at our beach. They're also excited to partner with Trogues Independent Brewing, which together they will feature award-winning craft beers. Their menu will feature amazing food crafted by Chef Doug Rooley, which will include local fresh ingredients and wood-fired favorites that will pair perfectly with our beer. Follow along and stay up to date as Thompson Island Brewing Company comes to life. Make sure to follow them on Facebook at Thompson Island Brewing Company or at thompsonislandbrewing.com. Are we all still waking up here?
3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Sorry, I had to start over. I don't know.
I'm feeling all strangling there.
You know, at some point, I'm just like, oh, we are actually doing a podcast. I should really think about
That's
this.
That's it, man. Wake up. Wake up. Here we are.
So we are on Monday, Labor Day, the September holiday, and 2nd. Here we are working.
Yes, sir. Happy weekend to you. Nice Monday day off for everybody.
Happy weekend. You know what I'm struggling is because I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, I can tell.
Can't see.
There you are. Hey, look at you.
Are you going to get a haircut?
I need a haircut. I don't know anybody good around here. Does anybody cut hair around here?
Well, it's funny. Every time you say, hey, before we do a podcast, you're like, can I get a haircut afterwards? I'm like, sure. And then by the time the podcast is over, like, gotta go.
I gotta run, man.
Running.
No, I'd love a haircut. That would be awesome. Hair is getting a little long.
Maybe a nice razor cut. A little Asian
you ever
haircut.
See, yeah. You ever see those haircuts with when the dads punish their kids and they give them the old man's cut? They shave them in the middle and they give them a little.
No.
Oh, it's hysterical. I got to pull that up for
no,
you.
No, but I do have some friends that think that they're a great hairdresser or a great hairstylist or a great barber.
Right.
And they'll come in and they tell me exactly how to cut their hair. I'm basically their hands. And then I watch them cut their kids' hair on Facebook.
Right.
And it's just, you know, I just have to keep my mouth shut.
Oh, it's hysterical. Well, you know.
Is that
can you turn that thing on? Oh, there it is. Here it comes.
On.
Check that out.
What
look,
is
look
that?
At that, man. This is hysterical.
Oh,
look
yeah.
at that. Can you do
Why?
That to my son?
Why would they do that? So what you're showing a picture of is basically the where a male so balding pattern would be. They cut all the hair off.
So they punish their kids with So don't you dare. Don't even think about it.
Who gave this little boy an old man haircut? That is not cool. Well, you always hear about, you know, guys that shave their head because they just don't want to have hair.
Right.
And then eventually they decide to let it grow out, and then it turns out that they're bald.
Right.
It's like a Seinfeld, right?
Yeah. You know, and I'm actually one of those guys who thinks, you know, you're making fun of them. I actually think I cut hair pretty well. I did it when I was working on. I was living in Costa Rica. I was our staff hair cutter. And I just took some clippers and scissors, and I cut everybody's hair. It was fine. Looked like that. I could do that. You're looking at me like, how dare you?
Well, I'm just listening. I don't see the feedback. Did you charge for this haircut, or was it free?
No, we were in the middle of the rainforest, man, and we all had, you know, did I tell you that? I lived in Costa Rica. I don't know if you ever knew that. Yeah, I lived in Costa Rica, and I worked for Outward Bound, and you know, I cut our hair, and you know, it was just either shaved or just trimmed, and did a little around the ears. Dude, the key to a good haircut for guys, just around the ears, just clean it up. It makes you look like you got a haircut.
I saw you posted a picture with your family from
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open.
I see my son.
Is that your son? Is that your philosophy with your son's haircut?
Oh my! I didn't cut his hair.
And no, nobody has.
No, his nephew posted on Instagram. It's like a head of lettuce.
It looked like a head of lettuce. He needs a haircut.
Tighten
up over there.
He refuses, man. Like talk about like not wanting to get.
Can
haircut,
you change this
man.
Picture? Do I have to see this? Creepy. That kid is creepy.
Oh my god, it's hysterical. So, at any rate,
how was the U.S. Open? I've been watching it. I love it.
Yeah, we go every year, and it's super fun. We got rained that this. It rained out this year, but luckily, this is the second year they have two roofs roofs over the two of the stadiums. So now, in the past, when it rains out and they can't get a full match in, you get tickets to the following year at no cost. So that cancellation policy doesn't exist anymore. So it's now lame. they got the two roofs so like they can get matches in. So like we actually, this is the first time in a long time that we went early in the tournament. It's a 2 week long tournament.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about going to the US Open early in the tournament, there's 128 players in the tournament. So you get to see the top 100 players of the world play, and you get to see them up close. And on a beautiful day, they're literally as far as from you to me right now in the studio. And you can see them, and they're hitting the crap out of the ball, and they're just so precise, and the atmosphere is electric. And unfortunately, it missed. It was like on and off rain, but Arthur Ashe Stadium and Louis Armstrong Stadium, they both have roofs on them now. So we were in the stadiums watching the tennis, and it was still fun. It was still awesome to be there.
It looked like you saw Federer play.
Yeah, we saw Roger. We saw the GOAT. That was a really good match. He looked like he didn't even want to be there. He looked really annoyed. But it was really cool.
What's up with that?
You know, he's 38 years old now. You know, he's 20 Grand Slams later.
I'm sorry. What else are you going
to
do?
Right.
I would think if you're going to go to, at least the U.S. Open, I could see showing a little enthusiasm. Yeah,
he had 5 o'clock shadow on his face. He looked tired. His first two rounds, he lost the first two sets, first set of each round, and struggled. You know, a lot of unforced errors, but kind of pulled it all together and got through. And then these last two rounds, round three and four, he just blistered through, clean shaven. I think the time change or just coming to the States from the Europe, I just think he doesn't recover like you used to, you know, when you're 10 years younger. I mean, he's the oldest guy in the draw and still top three player in the world. And it's amazing. I can't believe that he's still going as strong as he is at his age. The last guy who did that was Jimmy Connors.
Hmm.
At age 39, he got to the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open, lost to Andre Agassi in 1992 or whatever that was.
It's funny. I was watching, Xfinity will allow you to go back and look at old matches, and I was like, I was kind of just going through it, and I saw this Federer and Agassi match, and I was like, oh, my God. So I started playing it, and it was from 2005, but it looked like it was from, like, 1985. You know, it was
right.
The screen.
No
was,
high def. Yeah.
Yeah, there was no high definition. Right, it was skinny.
Right, right.
You know, everybody, you
like
know,
an Instagram video.
Wearing painter pants and parachute pants.
Right.
Painter hats and parachute pants. It's like
Cavaricci's.
Yeah. And it wasn't even that long ago.
No.
It's so strange. It just seems like time's flying by, but
I highly recommend it. I mean, Tom, I think you and your wife, I think you and Christine would enjoy it. You should come 1 year with us, man. It's a blast. The only problem with the U.S. Open, man, I'll give you an invite. Here's a problem. A drink is $18.
Yeah, the only problem is I don't drink.
Well, a drink, whatever drink it is $18.
Have you ever had mouthwater? It's very good.
It's called a spit. Burger is like $22. It is expensive there. It is expensive there. And
it's in New York.
It's in the middle of Queens, and it's, you know, their main sponsor is Mercedes-Benz. United Emirates Airlines is their key sponsor. They have a whole cafe. So it's high dollar stuff.
Nice.
You can go there and not spend a dime. You can sneak in granola bars and your water bottle and stuff like that and get away with it. But it ain't cheap, man. And my wife and I have been going since the 90s. And we used to bring our own cooler and go to stop at Wawa, get some subs. And because of the security, you can't bring any of that stuff in anymore.
Right.
So now we really enjoyed it. This is the second year we brought the kids. The kids don't play tennis, nor are they interested in it, but they enjoy going. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They have a lot of activities for kids there. But yeah, it's a little hoity-toity, honestly. It's very corporate now.
So when they start the match, are you not allowed to leave your seat?
Especially close to the court. So the closer you are to the court, the suites and that 100 level where we were, yeah, certain players are very sensitive. It's like golf. Can't you get move. Up and you go to the bathroom. Like, hey, stop. Ladies and gentlemen, take your seat in the back, please. Like, it can get a little bit like that.
And everyone's like, boo. The guy's like trying to run up the stairs really fast.
It's hysterical. But on the nosebleeds, dude, you think you're at a rock concert. All you hear is murmuring and conversations. And because it's such a huge stadium. I think it's the largest tennis stadium in the world. It seats like 27,000 people. It's huge. So in the nosebleeds, the 300 level, it's... You can have, you know, you can play. You can have band rehearsal up there. No one would hear you.
I like watching tennis, but I'm a big fan of Federer.
Mm-hmm.
But when he starts kind of going, and the problem with tennis to me is that it's very up and down. You know, you can have like, you watch your guy, and in the beginning they lose the first set, and you're like, oh god.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they rally back and then they're doing great. And you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they start to falter. You're like,
right.
Oh God, I can't watch. So I get a little too stressed out with tennis and it's a long stress.
You know?
It just isn't like.
Do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy watching
it? Yeah, we watched it last night.
Oh, cool.
I watched it. Well, and the other one, like, what's her name? Coco.
Coco Gauff.
Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
She's
15,
you know,
man. She's 50. She's a year older than my son.
Yeah, well, but. It seems like we're just desperate to have an American be great at tennis.
Well, it's been decades.
They want her so badly to be better than she is. And she was good.
It's a lot of pressure for her, you know, and her doubles partner, I think Catherine McNally, 17. This is the largest field of teenagers we've had in a long, long time. But Coco Gauff's kind of taken the world by storm since Wimbledon. And, you know, hats off to her, man. She's taken the pressure. She's an amazing player. We'll have my friend David Kempster on, and his daughter is Sashi Kempster, and she's a top player in Europe right now. And he's local. He's the director of tennis over at the Peninsula. Well, and he's got some inside knowledge of Coco Gauff's journey. His daughter and Coco text each other, so we'll have him on tell some stories. But it's, you know, Coco was identified at an early age, like age 8 or 9. You know, and the USTA discovered her at a young age. You know, they plucked them out of wherever they are, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by, you know, a football team of people to groom them. But the States is desperate for another Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi.
Well, you look at like yesterday, Serena played. I'm still blown away by her, but she's big. She's kind of lumbering around, but she's winning.
Yeah, she is. She's power. Phenomenal, man. Like I, you know, a ball that sits up and she just has no problem crushing it. And a lot of players need pace to create their own rhythm. And she doesn't need to do that. She crushes return of serves like nobody I've ever seen on the women's side. And she just looks like she's a class. She's just physically like she's like a linebacker playing tennis. Feels like
she's. I mean, I've never seen her in person. Is she? How tall is she?
No, she's pretty tall. I think she's like 5'9", 5'10". Yeah, she's pretty tall. Her sister is Venus is 6'1", 6'2". No, Coco's parents. Her father was a collegiate or basketball player, Division I. Her mother was a track star in college. So these families. Oh, at least Coco's family is from an athletic background. The interesting thing about the Williams sisters, they grew up in Compton, California. Mm-hmm. They grew up in the hood.
Oh, yeah.
And there was bullets flying where they were. And their father, Richard Williams, was watching tennis. This was a 60 Minutes special back in the 90s.
Said, I think I saw it.
Yeah. He was watching tennis and saw how much money they were making. He was like, man, I'm gonna do that. Yeah. And he took his six-year-old daughters. And they were training, you know, barbed wired fences and tennis courts and training every day. And he immersed them in tennis. And look what happened. You know, it's a total departure from the classic, hey, kids, what do you want to do with your life? Like, he just gave them a narrow tunnel to walk through. You're playing tennis, and this is what you're going to do. And look what happened. Now they're greatest of all time. You know, Serena Williams.
They are good. Did you watch it last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
There was a match I watched the other night. This guy, I can't. His serve was. Kirilov.
Oh, there's a lot of guys with big serves out there now.
I think it was last night. Not last night, but the night before. Mm-hmm. He was on against. It was the same time that the golf tournament Coco was on. Milos, or I don't know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, not Milos Raonic. She's not playing. But last night, I don't know if
you're... Not last night, the night before. But the guy, I mean, he must have had 21 aces. I mean, he was just...
Right. just blistering the
surface. And he's all angry and upset, and, you know, just this strange. I don't know. I'll watch tennis at the U.S. for this. You know, I watch Wimbledon. I love mm-hmm. Federer, but
good.
You know, I'm not watching it off.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to hear your perspective because I consider you kind of like, you know, you're a general sports fan. You're not really into anything super, super deep. You just enjoy it for the pure fact of entertainment. So it's cool to hear your perspective. I played tennis in high school and I actually was redshirted, almost made the tennis team in University of Delaware.
Do they do that in tennis too? They redshirt you?
In all college sports, they can redshirt you. But anyway,
I'm about to redshirt you in the podcasting business.
Yeah. So anyway,
you're a walk on.
Yeah, I'm a walk on.
You've been a walk on all your life, haven't you?
Man, that's true. So yeah,
Carlos walk on.
Casas. Hey, you got it. Hey, you got it.
We're getting ready to what? Start football season.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait.
I am. You know, I tried to sell you on the whole preseason thing last week. You remember? I was like, you know, you got to watch it. It's all about.
Yeah.
I'm over it. I'm ready for some football.
I kept the receipt. Can I get my money back now?
Well, the aggravating thing about preseason is hard to watch any of the games because they don't show them.
It's unnecessary, man. I mean, it's great if you're going to try out guys. I think it's fine, but don't play the starters. It's a waste of time. Like, you know what you got, especially if they played the season before. There, you already know what you got. But I agree with you. You know, it's a great time for people to fight for a job on the second, third string, you know, fourth string practice team guys. Like, I would have, you know, if I played football and I would have loved the opportunity to try to compete for a spot and do it in front of a crowd. Why not?
But what do you think about the Eagles? Did you get any information out of the last 4 weeks that may help you feel like
I didn't follow the preseason, unfortunately. I mean, I'm following the headlines. You know, I just, you know, I know that Carson Wentz but he got his help. He worked really hard on his health. And they're projected to come out of the East. So I'm really excited about that. This is the last Sunday, or yesterday was the last Sunday without football until February. So this is it, man, from here on in.
Yesterday was the last Sunday without football, yes.
Yeah, you know, until February. So it's going to be, I'm excited about the Eagles, man. I think it's going to be with Deshaun Jackson back in the, back in Midnight Green. Did I say Deshaun?
Said Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Dishonest.
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 Deshaun Jackson's back in the fold, so I'm excited about him. It's going to be, we'll see. You know, it's hard to, there's this, like they say, there's three seasons of football. The first, there's 16 games, right? The first four or the first whatever, you know, first five. And then the middle part of the season and the end of the season. So we'll see how they stack up in the first part of the season.
Well, I'm excited about the Giants, and I'm not even a Giants fan. I don't even like the Giants, but I love this. You know, that's how I got into NASCAR. I think I told you I read this article about this young kid, and then all of a sudden, that next weekend or that weekend, I ended up watching a Talladega race and this Jeff Gordon guy. And I just, from that day on, I watched every NASCAR.
That's
just
so funny.
I love the backstory,
right?
And I love this backstory about this new quarterback for, what's his name? Bring him up.
Oh,
the new quarterback for the Giants.
He started the preseason game, the last preseason game.
Oh yeah, dude. He has yet to have one. He hasn't had an interception, and he hasn't had an incompletion. But they're not going to start him for the. You know, they're going to let Eli start, of course. Because
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Daniel Jones. He is just. What I like about him mostly is that everybody was like, why did they pick this guy? And, you know, more should be revealed, obviously, because we're going to see what happens when he, you know, the real season starts. But he's been exciting.
Well, yeah, I'm also paying attention. I'm listening to my sports podcast, the whole Ezekiel Elliott and Jones controversy.
It's annoying. Now they're like, well, we Jerry just want him for the playoffs. I'm like, you're not going to the playoffs. Yeah.
It's funny. Jerry Jones, man, he's got the ego the size of the moon, man. He just cannot help himself.
He's a billionaire.
They're all billionaires.
Dude, I got an ego and I got $2 in my pocket. I can only imagine what a billionaire ego is like. I'd be like, wow. you know, we look at football, we look at it from our point, you know, it's a big part of our lives, but for like a guy like him, the what do you want?
It's not coming on. It says here it's mirroring to your TV, but it's not coming on.
Well, then do the, pick the Apple TV.
It's already, it says it's checked. Oh, let's see. Hold on a second. Try it again. Because my screen changed and I thought it was going to change on it.
You know, football in our life is a big part of our life. I'm wondering, as a billionaire, if the Cowboys are just like a part of one facet of his life. Oh, what's going on with our football team? You know, like, or is it as big a part of his life as it is ours?
Right.
Or is it just another thing he does? Oh, it's football season.
Yeah, he's passionate. I mean, he doesn't like to lose. He's super competitive. He's the kind of the captain of the. He's kind of the captain of the ownership group, I guess. That's why, you know, but it's, I don't know. Ezekiel Elliott, man, the running back, you know, he was the, didn't he win the champ or the yardage? Or he was MVP 1 year, I think.
I don't know.
He was a rushing champion.
It depends who you're asking. If you're asking an Ezekiel Elliott fan, I'm sure he's got a lot of great stats. If you're asking a non-Ezekiel fan, I'm sure there's a lot of great stats.
I think he's a great. I think he's an amazing running back. I mean, I think what team wouldn't want to have him? He's probably asking for too much money, you know, and he's trying to set his family up for generational wealth. Well, I don't blame him. He's one of the top running. Him and Todd Gurley, I think, are the top, in my opinion, probably the top two backs in the NFL. So why not ask for all the money? And I don't think, you know, Jerry Jones, which I kind of I'm shocked with the quarterback. What's his name? They have
Dak,
like with the quarterback they have.
Dick.
They want and give him the money because Dak to me is like, I think B level.
He's C level.
He's better than C. I just think he's super smart. He doesn't have much of an arm, but he's super smart and he's athletic. But when you have one of the best backs in the league and you have Dak as your quarterback, I would pay him. Now, Zeke's got some home issues, but you know, is that the reason why? Like, is his off the field issues? Like, why is Jerry just stalling? You know, like I would just pay the guy, and if he wants the championship, he's got to go after it now. He's going to wait for the playoffs.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure Dak Prescott's a nice guy, and you know, when he showed up, when Tony kept getting hurt, it was like the second coming, but honestly, I like the Cowboys, but I'm over it. I just can't.
Good.
I'm over it this year.
Come to Midnight Green, EAGLES. Yeah.
No, that's a bunch of dysfunction, too.
Come on now.
I'm going GIANTS.
No way, man. There's Elite and Eli.
I like Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, I like Andy Reid. Yeah, and I like Mahomes.
Mahomes boy,
he is awesome. Yep. He is awesome, man.
I'm excited about them. I like that team.
This Michael Vick 2.0.
Well, and then I've been watching a lot of. So I'll go and watch, you know, preseason recaps, and I've been watching a lot of them. And there's a lot of great players out there, but I know as of today or tomorrow, they're all pretty much going to be gone, and then the real players will come out. So. Mm-hmm. Start, right. You know,
next Sunday, man.
Falling in love with new players, but
and the
I'm
other
excited.
The other thing about I was watching the U.S. Open, which is kind of funny this time of the year because the U.S. Open's always the middle week of the U.S. Open's always Labor Day weekend, and so I'm watching the U.S. Open, and all of a sudden you get bumped to ESPN 2 or 3 because of college football.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, crap.
Well, and I watched college football yesterday. Did you watch any of the games?
Nah, I'm not terrible. I watch University of Delaware and Clemson because of my nieces and because some of the colleges that some of my family went to. But I'm not terribly into it, to be honest with you.
I'm not either. I watched it because we were at my in-laws.
But when I travel to my family or my friends in the Southeast, boy, yeah, college sports is everything. Professional sports don't even exist in their vocabulary as much.
Well, did you see, I didn't realize where Alabama, they have a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an outdoor stadium.
It was a backyard somewhere?
Yeah. Well, this thing looked like it had a Mercedes-Benz logo on the roof.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a serious... Right. It's serious. College sports is serious.
Oh, my God. Go to Penn State, man.
Are you a gambler?
No, not on. I mean, fun, but not. I've never had gambled Super Bowl, you know, things like that.
I mean, right. You but know. You're not placing bets. No, you don't have a bookie.
No. I don't do any parlays or anything like that, you know.
Gambling is, I think gambling is very dangerous, especially when I had a guy that came in, a client, and he was like, oh, yeah, my grandson, we bet on the Super Bowl. It's cute. I'm like, you know, isn't that dangerous?
I mean, Super Bowl, yeah, I mean, friends or whatever, but I don't know. But, dude, college stadiums are bigger than some of the NFL stadiums, bro.
Absolutely. Penn Do you think college players should make money? Officially make money?
You know, that's a good question. You're getting a free education, which is $100,000 in value right there, over $100,000 in value in 4 years. You're getting a degree. They are drawing revenue. And that's, you know, I don't know, man. Like, when I was playing college sports, I felt like I did in high school. Like, this was a privilege. You know, I'm an athlete, and this is cool. I can put this on my resume when I get a job, and this kind of stuff. But getting paid to do it, not sure. I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Well, what about these? I mean, isn't there some colleges or some sports that require you to go to college for at least, is that the NBA, 1 year?
Mm-hmm. I'll asterisk my statement. The top 1% of college players, though, the ones who don't need to go to college and just go to the professional sports, I think there could be an exception made for those types of athletes.
They should make a little money.
They don't need to be there. Right. Like, this college is just a bump, is a speed bump to the ultimate prize for them. So then you're risking injury. So the LeBron Jameses of the world, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, Zion Williams, like, yeah, you know what? You know, hook their family up a little bit, you know, or give them some endorsement money. But I think that balance is, I think colleges and NCAA are probably evaluating, are you diluting the value of a college education by paying players? Like, there is a intrinsic value to a college education. Think about it too. Retired athletes are one of the poor, like, I think statistically speaking, they struggle, one of the highest demographics that struggle economically after they get out of sports because they don't have skills, right? Like business skills. Like, remember Refrigerator Perry from the Chicago Bears?
The fridge.
Dude, he was installing kitchen cabinets after he, you know, Super Bowl champion. He was a contractor, like a home improvement contractor, barely making a living. Like, there's a lot of guys, a lot of amazing athletes, all pro, who don't have the life skills or the business skill that you get from college, you know, because their life's inundated with sports.
And if you're like a big top athlete, you know, you're probably going through the college motion.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Come on.
Well, the other part of it is, and I think the NFL and professional sports are doing a better job of it over the past probably 10 years or so, is that they're requiring rookies to attend like financial planning classes. Because listen, Refrigerator Perry, millionaire. So when you get $1 million, whether it's diluted now or 5 years from now, spend your money, invest your money wisely. Don't go out and buy an M5, you know, right out of the gate.
Did you see that picture I sent you, the M850?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never even seen that car.
Yeah, it just came out, the M8. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
God bless them. God bless
But,
BMW.
Yeah, these athletes, they get paid, and you know, they never heard of a 401k. You know, they're like, no, I ain't giving you my money. Like, no, this is my money. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, they're broke after 5 years because they don't know, you know, how to take care of themselves.
Well,
so.
Who was it? I just read an article about the guy, the running back for the Redskins, Peterson. No.
Adrian Peterson?
Adrian.
Yeah.
He's broke.
Yeah.
He is broke and he's in a huge amount of debt.
Right.
I mean, and they said that he just didn't invest any money.
That's right. That's right.
And he's playing still to try to get out of debt.
Yeah. Allen Iverson was the same. Allen Iverson, dude, one of the all-time greatest basketball, top 50 all-time greatest basketball players, and he went to Turkey to go play basketball. He was broke. Broke. Dude, he had gold chains like Mr. T.
he had an entourage
on his payroll.
On the payroll. That's crazy.
So it's a problem, but I think professional sports are, I think the professional leagues are doing a better job trying to help these younger men and women do some financial planning and educate them. And I think that'll help them with their post life. That's why you're starting to see all these, you know, I think broadcasting and media has been a great outlet for them. when they retire. Like, you're going to see Andrew Luck, in my opinion. You're going to see him, like, on the in the booth, you know, in a year. Probably probably 2 weeks.
Yeah, like Jason Witten. I just saw a preseason interview with Jason Witten on the field. He's in fact, he's playing football again.
Right. Yeah.
So not everybody's cut. I mean, did you tell me that he was? Yeah. Wasn't a great success in the Monday Night Football game?
I didn't mind him.
I didn't think he was that bad.
No, I didn't mind him. I just think that I think a lot of people just felt that he just wasn't that good in the booth. I didn't think he was that bad. He might have been trying a little hard, but...
Do you think behind the scenes they said, listen, Jason, listen, man, why don't you come off the field and be an announcer for Monday Night Football? And he's like, oh, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And then they brought him up, and they're, listen, Jason, you're not very good. You need to go back to the field. I mean, do you think he's playing football because that didn't work out? Or do you think he had a year to kind of... let the aches and pains kind of heal up and he felt good.
You know, that's interesting. Like I during his last season with the Cowboys, I heard that he wanted that ABC or ESPN was recruiting him to be a broadcaster.
Right.
I heard that during the season while he was playing. One of the analysts on ESPN made a great point about Andrew Luck. Go on IR for a few months. Go on IR. Don't retire and lose all that money. Go on IR. Take a break. Go to the Bahamas for a few months. Just take a break from the game. Get your body right and see how you feel. Jason might have been in the same, but Jason's been, I mean, when you're a tight end or you're a running back, you're getting your ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Getting your ass kicked, man.
Like, well, but then you got guys like Gronk who look, you know, like he has two brain cells.
Did you hear about what he was saying?
Well, but he doesn't seem like the sharpest tool in the shed.
That's a stick, in my opinion.
I agree. But, you know, the funny, I heard that later on that he has never spent one NFL paycheck. All of his money from the NFL has gone into the bank. He has lived up until this point just on endorsements.
Right.
So a guy like
super
that.
Super smart.
Yeah, super smart.
Yeah. No, that was a shtick on his part. And I think he's a very savvy dude. And
well, he's promoting CBD oil.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you probably won't. There was this backup quarterback, Troy Detmer from the Eagles. Mm-hmm. He was the backup quarterback. He was making $770,000 league minimum.
Yeah.
Right. He would roll up in a 1980 Cadillac with the interior linen hanging from the thing. Like,
sweet.
Yeah, he saved every dollar, dollar. And he knew exactly what the long road looked like, you know. And, you know, those guys, they're super smart. I mean, I think, and I saw Gronk was on Shark Tank once. That was pretty cool. Now, I think Gronk got his butt kicked. He said his brain felt, his head felt like Jell-O often. There's so much fluid in his head. There was an article that published what football's done to him. And
But I think he's discussing maybe coming back.
Yeah, I think he wants a year off.
Just the Jell-O solidified and he's ready
wait till it hardens a little bit.
Do you want to, should we read an ad?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Wait, you didn't record the one I just...
I did, but I thought we did one in the middle.
Oh, we do one in the middle. Oh, yeah, let's talk. Let's talk about some ads here. So
we're also promoting... ad space.
Yeah, it's really cool. So all these amazing guests and small business owners are some of them are talking with us about advertising. I think it's amazing. So you know, where our audience is growing. How do you feel excited about that?
I do feel excited about it. And I think that the offer that we've been at, and we won't discuss any numbers on air, but
thank you.
But you know, the fact is that someone's like, well, why don't you see if Shell wants to sponsor, or you know, mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'd like to see if we can try to get some small businesses, you know, because I think that
get some exposure for them,
right? And I think the offer is so small, you know, it's a great opportunity to get involved in something small that's not a huge commitment. I mean, you and I talk advertising, the amount of corporate money that goes out for advertising and some of the bigger things, I'd be like, so I think what we're offering is pretty reasonable, and we try to reach out.
I think it's relative to the startup of this business. I think it's really cool, and we've gotten some really cool guests. We got some really cool ones lined up, and we're going to be recording with the chairman of the College of Communications in about an hour. And, you know, on Wednesday, we have an up-and-coming politician. And, you know, so we have some really cool people on who are sharing our podcast.
Well, that's our new, that's really our new campaign, is really trying to, mm-hmm. you know, when we started doing the podcast, it's like, oh, this is just, it's fun. Mm-hmm. But now people are like, it's becoming a little more serious. And mm-hmm. we're into, I think we'll probably pass 3,000 listens probably this week mm-hmm. in 75 podcasts. And yep. It's been... you know, it's been fun, but now it's starting to get serious.
It's getting serious. And, you know, reach out to us at rehosocialpodcast@gmail.com if you have some interest in coming on or would like to hear a specific guest or give us some just basic feedback on how we're doing. We would love to know.
If you want to book an appointment with Carlos to get your hair cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it up.
We'll film that.
Speaking of haircuts, take a little advertising. So here we go. Thomas David Salon is one of Southern Delaware's premier full-service salons.
I hear they're good.
Located in the upscale Painters Mill Shopping Center in Milton, Luton, Delaware. Luton. You will be treated to an amazing experience by one of Thomas David's highly trained and super friendly stylists, from a haircut to a color and even waxing. Thomas David's welcoming environment has you covered. To make an appointment, call 302-827-2466.
Nice.
All right.
I hear they're looking for a stylist, too.
Whoa, is there any chairs open there?
One chair.
Oh.
There wasn't, but...
So...
Things change, and now there's an opening.
Yeah, so any up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the hairstyling industry and want to try their hand at... running their own very, very small business and build a base of clients, Thomas David Salon is available for chair rental. So give Thomas David the salon a call at 302-827-2466 and have a chat.
Well, and honestly, all seriousness or all silliness aside, we've been having a lot of walk-ins. I'm surprised. So one of the new girls that are here, Nelda. I mean, I think she got 7 new clients last week. I don't pay much attention to it because I'm not really taking new clients. But now that we're focusing, you know, because when someone new starts, I want to see if we can get them going.
Well, let me dial that back. You said you're not taking. Are you fully booked all the time now?
Yes.
You personally?
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. Hey, man.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not fully booked, but I'm also not. I don't. I want
you're not new, seeking new.
Yeah,
clients.
I mean, if there's a new girl working here, I'm trying to get
right
them booked up. I mean, I'm busy enough.
That's awesome, man.
So, but we've getting. I mean, we're in a great location, and I always say, if this is, you know, if you want to maybe own your own salon one day, and you want that transition, that bridge, that opportunity to see if that's the direction you want to go, chair rental's great. You get your own key, you get your own chair. I won't bug you.
Yeah, and I think Thomas David, with the partnership with Rehoboth Social, will give you an opportunity to promote yourself on the podcast as well.
Oh, absolutely. Any new stylist can come on the podcast. So, we will promote.
Yeah, you are, you know, I think Thomas David Salon wants you to be successful, so and they want you to pay that rent.
Sharing is caring.
Do I have to, should I read the other one? Or are you,
nah.
You already have that one recorded?
We're going to do another podcast here in a little bit. We'll pump that one out.
Okay.
So the what's going on with you? What's the latest? I mean,
so I was at the U.S. Open.
You did get to see the match.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. We saw the match.
You posted some videos.
Yeah. And we had great seats. It was a nice week. You know, since our last podcast, we were really busy. Kids are getting ready for school. We're kind of winding down the summer. Oh, I guess what's new, I guess, is Hurricane Dorian.
Did I tell you I turned off the news?
Why?
I don't want to watch the news anymore. I turned off the news like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you feel liberated now?
I do.
Okay.
You don't got to cut your eyes and raise your shoulders.
Look at you, look at you.
But listen, you know, it's funny. Like, I had this this wellness lady on yesterday, and I was talking about, you know, I don't, you know, you don't eat a lot of crappy food, mm-hmm. right? You don't want your body to feel bad. Mm-hmm. I was starting to feel kind of wishy-washy by all this bullshit that's been going on in the news. So I just turned it off, a little experiment.
Right, and you're liberated.
I'm liberated.
Yeah.
What do you have to say? Is that like liberal? Am I a liberal now?
I think that's admirable. I don't watch the news either.
Yeah, but see, I haven't been following this hurricane. And we were at the pool yesterday, and these two women were like, oh, my God, this hurricane is coming. And I haven't lived in that reactionary place thinking about this stupid hurricane, which I used to love. I used to love getting on the Weather Channel.
Oh, yeah.
The Weather Channel gets all amped up and following it.
The guy holding onto the pole, like, talking. Ah!
Well, remember when he did that a couple years ago?
And he's the guy was walking.
I don't know what's going on. And then those two guys are walk by.
With a pizza in their hand.
Yeah, like, what's up, bro?
No,
it's been interesting. It really has to separate.
Don't watch the news, man. It's news outside the weather. I think it's news that they want you to. They're trying to guide you in a certain direction, which I think is to me the reason why you don't watch it anymore.
I don't watch it anymore.
They want you to listen to what they want you to listen to. And for me, when I bring up the hurricane, I'm a surfer. So, you know, waves are coming to the East Coast. This is the time of the year for the East Coast surfers to start waxing their boards and getting excited about the hurricane season.
Did you watch 60 Minutes last night?
Mm-mm.
The guy, the guy that held the record for the big waves.
Oh, that was on?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
And the guy that just beat him.
Oh, wow. I know. I didn't know that. I'll have to check that out.
It's over in, I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to, maybe you can bring it up, but you know where the lighthouse is and they all.
Oh, Nazare.
Yeah, Nazare.
Yeah.
Do you know the guy that held the world record? It was like 78-foot wave.
That's it?
No, well, I mean, it was a big wave. And then this guy just beat it, and they previously thought that his wave wasn't as big.
Right.
And then further research, they realized it was an 80-foot wave, and they just passed on the award for the biggest wave.
Garrett McNamara.
Him. That's him right there.
Yeah, I spoke to Garrett when I was at GoPro, actually.
Of course you did. I mean, you know.
What?
Nothing.
No, I was
referred.
My boy Garrett.
Yeah,
let me text him real quick.
GM.
GM. No, he, one of those waves, he actually broke, I don't know if they talked about it in 60 Minutes, he broke his back and dislocated his shoulder.
Well, I think he broke his back, and then he later would wipe out and break his arm, broke off the top of his shoulder, of the top of his arm, and then that bone shoved into his pec.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't just break his shoulder, it stabbed the broken bone into his body.
Yeah, and we were actually, when I was at the live broadcast team at GoPro, we were in negotiation to help him live broadcast, you know, him surfing there, and he, you know, I was on an email chain with him. He's like, dude, I'm in the hospital. You know, I just crushed every bone in my body. I can't do this.
Yeah, and that's it right there.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out. But yeah, those guys, talk about absolutely crazy, in my opinion, big wave surfers. I don't care who you are. Don't talk to me about jumping out of an airplane or snowboarding down Everest or whatever. In my opinion, unless you're being dropped in the middle of Afghanistan with a couple of AK-47s, big wave surfing is probably the scariest thing to do in the world. Because think about it, 100 feet, right? Think about snowboarding down a mountain with an avalanche following you behind you.
Well, that's just exactly how he describes it.
Is that what he said?
Oh, yeah.
So to me, it's a whole different mentality, man. Like, you just have, because every time you take a wave and you drop in on that wave, you're going down the side of a skyscraper. Yeah. And you're hoping that skyscraper doesn't explode and fall up behind you.
When I was 15, I came to visit Rehoboth, and I did some bodyboarding. No, I did, just bodyboarding, not even a boogie board, just bodyboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a face plant into the sand.
Oof.
And I did a scorpion. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Not funny! I hurt myself.
I would pay $100 for that video.
So when I have it again, amigo, my long-haired friend.
For some reason, I could picture that.
Yeah, listen, it's all funny now, but at the time, it was really scary. And it scared the shit out of me, and I thought I broke my freaking neck. I'm like, Mom! But, so, you know, experiencing that, it's a little...
It sets a little notch in your head.
You know you're scorpion before.
If I close my eyes and tilt my head just a little bit, you sound like a woman.
So did your feet?
Yes, they did.
Did it touch the back of your head?
They might have even put footprints in front of my face.
It was not good. I tell my kids, just keep your head up. God bless
you. Did you have like a mouthful of sand?
Yes, whatever. I think my nose was on my forehead.
And it was all said and done.
But, are you finished?
I'm crying over here, man.
The point was, it was very scary. I was frightened. So even like going down to, you know, the just bodyboarding down here in these 2 foot waves, it's scary. You know, I can't imagine an 80 foot one. I guess that's my point. Oh my God, are you finished? My wife is texting me. I'm gonna text him with her.
I'm done talking with you. Let's see here. Let's see what we got here.
Maybe someone had cut it on video.
I think we have one on video.
Oh no. A scorpion.
Is your internet slow? is your internet slow today for some reason? Do they know I'm coming in?
Well, maybe if you would close some of those things. Labor Day, Google. Yeah. I mean, shut that stuff.
Oh, that's true. Oh my God,
kids,
dude, here we go. Oh my gosh, there he is, Tom Marquino.
Here I go, first day.
Oh! Oh, that is awesome, man.
That
is awesome.
Can we see that?
Oh my God, scorpion. Oh, I would pay $100 to see that, man.
What's the top one? That was very
good. I know. So yeah, well, you know, I've had some pretty nasty wipeouts. I mean,
well, I guess the point was, you know, this was probably in like a 2 foot wave.
It's even funnier, man.
So an 80 foot wave would be, yeah, terrifying.
Oh my God. Well, you know, the forecast right now, the forecast as it stands Thursday and Friday, we're supposed to get 50, 60 mile an hour gusts from the hurricane. So waves are going to jack up to like 8, 9, 12 feet around here. So it'd be cool to take the kids after school and just take a look at the ocean.
Yeah, but that's not surfable, right?
No.
It's too messy, right? It's not like, you know, perfect sets come rolling in.
During a hurricane though, in the eye of the hurricane, there's guys who will take a jet ski out there when the calm for that 20-minute calm, mm-hmm. when the waves are just out of control, but they calm down for like 20 minutes, but it's still huge. I'll show you some pictures of it.
So is the hurricane coming? Is it going to hit us? Can we see a track?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's going to hit us, but the remnants probably, you know, the remnants are probably going to.
It says Jason Witten returning to Cowboys after stumbling in ESPN. So he really, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jason Witten, you know, he's one of the all-time greats. I mean, just crazy. So
it's always, I mean, even Gronk. I mean, you look at Gronk, you don't even think of him. He doesn't come off as like this great, but he makes football look like I could do it. You know, it's like I could do that.
Yeah, but he's also 6'7" and like 300 pounds of just crazy. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I don't know.
We're going to have a hurricane. Okay.
Nice. Well, I mean, I don't know. Right now, those things are so unpredictable.
I literally have no idea where it's at. I have no idea.
It's coming off of...
Is it going to come across out of the Gulf? Is it coming up?
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to hit the Carolinas and then start heading east.
The East Coast grind. Is that the name of it, Bill?
So check that out, man. So this is like during the hurricane swell. This picture right here, that's during the eye of the hurricane. That's Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh, my.
So that's like legit. Like that's all that behind that wave is absolute violence.
It says Raven Lundy. Is that the guy's name?
I think so.
We should see Crazy, if we get him on the podcast.
Crazy.
Let's see if he's on Instagram, Raven.
Yeah, we'll get him on. We'll also get a local surf photographer on, Nick Gruber. He's really cool. We'll get him on as well.
Oh, let's see. Raven Lundy. Maybe we can even find him on Facebook. Raven Lundy.
I would just say batten down the hatches. You know, if you have a screen, if you have a porch or a deck, bring all your stuff in, you know, around Wednesday. just kind of tuck it all away and just, you know, just be prepared. Don't mess around with that stuff unless you like your lawn chairs in the middle of your backyard, your umbrellas to put them all away. Surfers, wax up your board, get ready to roll. But yeah, Hurricane Dorian.
It's Dorian, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was Daniel for some reason, but it's Dorian.
You were thinking of the quarterback for the Giants.
Yeah, that's right.
He's made an impression.
Yeah, so he's that's coming up.
Do you see the video I posted the other day of parachutes?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Dude, you know, how long has that song been out?
Forever. Dude, they haven't released a record in like forever.
The reason I posted it is because I was in the car with my son and that song came on and I was singing it and I was realizing I was singing every wrong word. I didn't know any of the words to that song, you know. I'm just singing version.
Right.
So I stopped and I told my son, bring up the lyrics for Parachutes. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the words?
I'm looking them up now. No, I haven't.
It's beautiful. I mean, Eddie Vedder is just, not only is he an amazing singer, and he's just that
he's a good storyteller.
Slightly dark.
Yeah.
Dark enough that makes you go, what's going on?
Are you depressed, dude, man?
What's up with this dude? But the words.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sing it. Go ahead and sing us a couple bars.
Why deny all the troubles when combined with the missing links?
Why deny? I said sing it, not.
All the troubles when.
Oof.
Combined with the missing links, it don't feel like home now.
Stop. Stop. I'm about to throw a can at you.
throw a tomato.
About to throw this can at you. Anyway, it was just, I mean, I love that. And I posted the video. It's just an amazing song. And
well, you know, what's really cool about Eddie Vedder, and you know, I'm not a huge Eddie Vedder, like, you know, on his own, but he's a good songwriter, good lyric.
You don't like Eddie Vedder?
No, I like him, but I think there's too much. Like, Pearl Jam isn't just Eddie Vedder; it's the whole band. Yeah, you know, I've already went over this with you, right?
Yes.
When he picks up his guitar, I go for a bathroom break.
Yes.
So, but what he's done intrinsically, and I don't even think he realizes that when he writes a lyric, he's telling a story, and that's the kind of stuff they teach you at Berklee College of Music. Like, he knows that intrinsically, you know, and to write a lyric.
Is that a college word?
What?
Intrinsically.
Is it college? Can we get a definition? Your eyes just roll in the back of your head.
let me just use it today or something. Intrinsic.
He's just, you know, and it just comes to him naturally. And, you know, but college kids are up and coming musicians. They take classes on how to write songs and they talk about storytelling, and he just did it from a young age, like just told his story through music.
Well, and whenever I like read this, I think, God, when was that? And then I'm like, is that when he met his new wife? Is this is this written to her? It's like, what is this? You know, what's the story behind? You know, there was a lot of stuff like in their second album. I think he was, wasn't he married to a girl, Beth?
Yeah, it was his first wife.
Like, I have versions of him doing
Oceans or.
Yeah, no. When he goes,
yeah.
Oh, Beth. You know, yeah. He says it. It's, so I'm like. When I read this stuff, I'm like, I wonder what this was about. Like, he's too deep to, like, just write a song.
That's why. I think this year this year was the 20th or 23rd, 24th anniversary 25th. of Verses.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have Sirius Satellite Radio, but the Pearl Jam radio station, they interviewed the band and they talked about the genesis of all the songs on Verses, which I absolutely loved to hear. I didn't hear every single one of the stories, but hearing the stories of how the genesis of all those songs were. Is that a genesis? It's a word.
Yeah, evolution of it.
Yeah, I think it's
too big. Did you need that word evolution? Is that better?
Genesis, the beginning.
Evolution.
No, genesis doesn't mean evolution. Like, genesis is the beginning.
Right.
Wait, did you just scorpion again? Wait a second.
I think I hit back in my head with my ankle. But isn't the evolution just how it evolves?
Well, that's after the genesis, it evolves into a song, and nice. I thought it was really cool. So I love it when Pearl Jam Radio or any radio station and any band, really band that I love, Zeppelin, they talk about the genesis of a song and how it starts and where their inspiration was, and they talked about with Verses how Eddie Vedder, again, he's so, like, to me, just so pretentious sometimes. And this is when he was really young and naive, but like he didn't want to be a rock star. You know, he didn't want to be part of a big band, you know, and he would go sleep in some outhouse while the rest of the band slept in a nice house to kind of prove a point, you know. And that's where he was all depressed writing his songs and his lyrics and stuff. And all the band were, they were commenting on it. He's like, yeah, he was out there in the outhouse, you know, sleeping in a sleeping bag. And
well, they're on, they're in a tour bus and he's riding around in like a Volkswagen.
Right, 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 right. No, they're on an air, they're on a private plane and he's riding around in a Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah. Volkswagen bus.
He's like, do they want it? So like, he just, I don't know, that holier than thou type of stuff just kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like, okay, man, I get it, man. You're real. All right. Two houses later. In Seattle.
Well, yeah, but you know what? They're still around.
Well, they're a band that ended up finding a way to get along. That's what it boils down to. A lot of these bands just can't get along. I mean, look at Zeppelin. You know, Page and Plant can't even be in the same room with each other. I still even think today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They you know, dude, they're healthy. Why couldn't they get together and
Jimmy
play?
Page is a terrible guitarist.
What? How terrible. Dare you?
Terrible.
What? Are you kidding me with that?
Slop.
Nah,
sloppy. Nah, yeah, maybe dude. 30 years ago he was great.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, dude, he's like 80 something. Give him a break.
Well, you were asking, why aren't they still together?
It's not because
are terrible.
No. They would have been fine. They could still.
Dude, Jimmy Page at the end of his career was so sloppy. He barely could play any of it. I mean, I think.
Well, Stone Gossard made a point about that on an interview. He's just like, when they listen back at 10 and verses. And they're like, we can't play it like that anymore.
Because <No. laughs>
they don't practice it that way anymore. And I can say the same thing about Mike McCready. Like, I think
you
the same
said
way.
It.
Yeah. Like, I think when they play Even Flow and they play it 10 times faster than the record.
Is it sloppy or just lazy?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Okay.
Because.
Multifaceted.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, like, hey, man, play it in time. Play it in rhythm. Stop just noodling around on the pentatonic scale and just thinking you're wowing the crowd. But, you know, whatever, you know, it's still amazing. They still, you know, they're still doing it. And, you know, it's just they're a different band now.
You know, the band that still blows me away is Metallica. Were
yeah.
you ever a Metallica fan?
Yeah. Now, I like the newer Metallica in the 90s. I wasn't a huge 80s Metallica fan, but the 90s Metallica I liked a lot.
I've loved Metallica all the way through. But mm-hmm. this new, you know, but I had kind of lost interest, like Saint Anger. I was like, yeah. But this new album, Hardwired, is phenomenal. I mean,
oh, I didn't know they released one.
You haven't heard their new album?
Mm-mm.
Oh my
Hardwired?
God. Yeah, Hardwired. Hardwired for self-destruct.
Oh yeah, I heard that song.
Well, and the funny thing is that, you know, they'll show like Metallica backstage, and he's like singing, and you're like, oh, it's kind of pitchy, and then he goes out on stage, and it's perfect.
Mm.
I mean, can they adjust? Can they do things in the mics that make them sound?
Totally. Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
What are you going to play?
The song that you were just trying to sing.
Do play Atlas Rise. I mean, I've never seen a band play bigger arenas, bigger stadiums than freaking Metallica. I mean, they're down in like Czechoslovakia. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like Metallica. That's what I work out to. I'll put them on, and but that's a band to me. When they play live, it's mint.
Oh yeah,
they are tight.
Very.
Like, they're playing the notes for what they are on the record. Like, it's what you expect to hear with, like, Pearl Jam's kind of like Grateful Dead. You know, they just kind of play a version of that original song.
Something.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we can't hear, but yeah, this album, dude, I think this album right here, Hardwired, is probably, if not, and I'm going on a little bit of a limb, one of their best albums ever.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm definitely checking it out, man.
Dude, I listened to that. Oh, just such a great album. I love it.
I'm sold. I'm going to check it out.
I'm surprised you haven't. I mean, that album came out like in the spring.
I'm a huge Metallica fan. I'm not that huge. I keep forgetting about them, but that's a band I'd love to get back into.
Well, listen, this is our traditional Tom and Carlos podcast.
Our little early morning podcast here.
Yeah, it's 7:30. We're a little early. We got another podcast coming in with our boy Rob. I'm excited to talk to Rob.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And Rob is like, he's got a lot of podcast friends and stuff.
Yeah, you two are going to be battling for airtime, I think.
I'm just going to keep my lips in. But thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. It was awesome as usual. Super fun.
Yeah, and you got some busy times coming up. You're gonna be traveling.
If we're going to do one next week, should probably do it late this week, Saturday, Friday, and then I'm traveling next week to Seattle, hanging out with Eddie and the band for a few days. And then I'll be back Wednesday the 11th.
Do you know what a dap is?
A dab?
Dap.
Like, what's dap?
Dap. It's like a handshake.
Oh, is that right? Didn't know that.
Well, so, you know, I like Panic at the Disco, and during this album, he's like, you guys give good daps. So I'm like, I told my son, I go, what's a dap? You know, because I remember the dab. Wasn't the dab where you kind of...
Yeah, like, this is the dab.
Yeah, so the dab. But the dap is a handshake. So here, I'll show you.
I never heard of it. Never saw it.
This is how it goes.
All right.
Let me see your hand. So you go like this.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
I know that.
I act like you know what it
is. Well, I know what that is. I didn't know what was called a dab.
Well, I didn't either.
I knew. I've done that before. I just didn't know there was a name to it.
So I've been doing a lot of dapping lately.
Nice. Yeah, bro. Look at you, man.
Well, I was going to say, when you go to Seattle, maybe you could do a dap at the
I'll dap with Eddie.
Dap with Eddie. All right, brother.
All right, man.
Have a good one, pal.
You too. Right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.